game.
Not good.
Not good.
No.
Not good. But what I wanted to see, what I, all I'm going to pay attention to early on is how the prospects are playing. And it was nice to see over the two games over the weekend that Max Clark, Kevin McGonigal, Max Anderson, all had their opportunities to show up and hit, score, mm-hmm. drive and runs. They all have done that to this point in one way or another. That's cool. I'll keep monitoring to see how Briseño is doing, or Lorenzo and the rest of the guy, how you lead the rest of these prospects. Those are the guys I really care about. Of course, I care about the main team, mm-hmm. the guys who have their positions locked in. But it doesn't look like there's going to be many roster spots available. Like, what are the roster fights on this team for the position players? There aren't many. I mean, Jamai Jones is the extra outfielder, is one. I mean, but other than that, I'm not sure if these guys really have that clear path to get to the Major League Club, unless there might be a trade of some kind to move somebody out to create space.
Okay, I want to bring up something that I saw over the weekend, I think. First of all, I met a number of listeners Saturday in Chicago for the Pistons-Bulls game at the United Center, and had a good time. It was my son's 24th birthday, so we took him and his sister and my wife, and we all went to the game and then hung out with some of his friends, and it was a really, really good time. But there were a ton of Michiganders there, a ton of Piston fans there. The bar we were at was packed with people watching Michigan-Duke beforehand. And the game was what it was, and we talked about it a little bit earlier. We did not have great seats. But I saw something. I'm like, did I really just see that? If you were there, can anyone confirm to me that what I saw was real? That Benny the Bull.
Benny the Bull, the mascot.
The Bulls mascot, during a timeout in the second half, went to the center court and threw a basketball over his head from center court and made it. Not once. Not twice. Three times in a row. Did I see that? Did that happen? Because my first thought was, what's in this beer? Then I thought it had to be AI. And then one of my son's friends told me later, yeah, everyone went nuts, but the third shot missed. But I wasn't able to find any affirmation on confirmation on YouTube or Twitter. Was anyone else there see that? Or did I really either A, have too many beers, or B, get fooled? Because like I said, I had a buddy, or my son had a buddy, said no, the third shot didn't go in, even though the place went crazy.
It's what he does, man. He knocks down shots. Well, I did a quick Google search, Benny the Bull half court shot.
Yeah,
he does knock these things down with some kind of regularity.
Can anybody else confirm that? Was anybody else, any listeners there? Did you see that? I don't know.
I'd love to hear it, because yeah. I think it's an amazing story.
It's either that or it's an amazing story that I thought I saw it three times in a row. But when you're watching something with your own eyes and you say it has to be AI, you're like, wait, no, I'm here. Anyway, maybe somebody can help a brother out. Let's go to Paul in Clinton Township. Hello, Paul.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys.
Sure.
Hey, before I get to it, Doug, if you could please provide video of you doing the downhill in the half pipe, we would appreciate it.
If it ever happens, yes, I will try to get video.
Yeah, and frankly, I think I'd rather see the downhill. But,
okay. You know. All right. Well,
and that isn't bad for you. Just, you know, that would be the one. Okay. So I don't do this often, but Champ and Chump.
Yep.
Dylan Larkin, because he's our guy.
Yep.
And he was valuable and he was great. And they talked so many great things about him. My Chump, even though I like to go with some USA fans, I'm going to go with McKinnon. Okay? I mean, he's one of the two best players in the world. He was a minus for the tournament. He was on the ice for both U.S. goals, and he missed an open net, and he's complaining or talking about who the better team was. Now, he's the chump in, for me, personally.
You know, Gator, I don't know if you saw the three, I'm sorry, the quote, the Gator read the whole quote. Did you hear that earlier?
I did not hear the entire quote. No, okay, I do have something after this.
Well, here's the whole quote. It's been close for a while, you know. They're an amazing skilled group of players. I just felt like it wasn't going to be. You guys can be the judge of who the better team was tonight, but they won, we lost.
Okay, that's slightly better. Yeah. I personally, if I'm on the ice for both goals and I miss an open net, yeah. I'm the only minus player.
I was going to say, Paul, I'm not even trying to convince you to say he doesn't deserve the chump because your reasons you gave are completely chump worthy. Missing that empty net, if I was a Canadian fan, I'd be pissed. Like, how do you miss that empty net? That's the game. That's a legacy right there. You're a hero. You're a god if you make that, if you put it in the net. There are junior kids and high school kids and squirts that can make that shot, and he didn't make the shot. And for him to be on the ice for both of the goals, and include, the game winner, he's on the ice, and I think it was Werenski that got the puck and sent it over across to Hughes for the winner. Like, do your job.
Yeah, Werenski pushed him off the puck.
Yes.
That said, there's a narrative that's coming out of this that I am just so against, and I think it's so hypocritical for people. This whole narrative that the U.S. only won, was bailed out by Hellebuck. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Goalies are on teams. You want to have the better goalie for a reason. We've watched time after time after time in the NHL where a team dominates the other, but the other team has a better goalie, or he plays out of his mind, and they win the game. And this whole narrative, it was like we had two teams, and then we randomly drew goalies for the game. Okay, no, that's not what happened. The better team had the full six-man component on the ice at all times. Hellebuck was the best player on the ice for both teams. So I'm sorry. You know what? Bennington, he's the one that actually played fantastic for them last year in the Four Nations, and he won a cup. He gave up two goals that, frankly, he could have made the save, and Hellebuck didn't. So that's how it goes. Teams have goalies for a reason.
But that also kind of supports that narrative, though. It's that Hellebuck played out of his mind. He was the best player on the ice. He was the difference in the game. And if you step back and look at the game objectively, I was stunned that he was able to keep everything out of the net because Canada just kept pouring on the pressure from the moment that they got down 1-0. I thought that they did outplay the United States. However, because it's hockey, you can win a game with a hot goaltender.
It's funny because I know that analysis can bother people, and I've heard other people say that. I don't want to hear that it was just because of Hellebuck. I do remember when the Tigers kept beating the A's in the playoffs in the Verlander, and somebody from Oakland wrote a story that the only difference between Detroit and Oakland, there was nothing to choose between the two except for Verlander. And that if the A's had Verlander, it would be completely different. And I just started to laugh. Like, oh, you mean the commodity that Detroit has, you would like?
Right.
The one that makes the biggest difference? I mean, yeah.
If we have Patrick Mahomes.
We have a commodity that is one of the toughest to get. One of the toughest that everybody would love to have. And I don't even know what the point is of bringing it up. To be honest with you, not Paul.
But when people bring
up that, why would you bring up the only difference is, yeah, okay, so what?
There's a ton of talent on that USA roster. There's a ton of talent.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the overtime situation where you're 3-on-3, and I said a couple times today, I think it's the equalizer when you've got a team that may not be as talented as the other roster is, but you still have high-end talent on it. It shows up. And, to watch Quinn Hughes, the way he skates as a defenseman and constantly, skating backward or turning the direction,
incredible.
Change of direction is amazing with him. And he does it at such a high speed when he skates back towards the blue line when it's in the offensive zone and he skates as fast as he can. And he's just got this. He's just winding up. It's amazing to watch. And Werenski is like that as well. And maybe not to the same extent, but he's got a lot of that in him. And then you see the talent. Like, wait a minute. Jack Eichel's really good. Jack Hughes is really good. Dylan Larkin is really good. Tage Thompson is really good. The Tkachuk brothers are a problem. You know, it's a different style of team that the U.S. has than Canada. And maybe that's what pisses Canada off most of all, is the United States is a gritty freaking team, man. And they're going to rub you the wrong way, with especially with the Tkachuk brothers out there. And even with Canada has a couple of guys that have that saltiness to them. Tom Wilson will hit anything that moves. And, you know, he'd be a player I think lots of teams in NHL would like to have. And Marchand is just an irritant. But not like the Tkachuk brothers. Those guys are hitting everything on the ice and setting a tone.
All right, why this could be a huge week in the NFL, and does it matter for Detroit? We will get to that today at 1:23. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1. So last Thursday and Friday, we did not have Kang, our producer, who does a great job for us. We're very appreciative. And the listeners love him. And Kang, you've got this brewing tradition with your family. And you're a young father. And we have a lot of young fathers out there. How many winters in a row have you done this now? Is it two or three?
Oh, God. It might be... four.
Might be four now? Yeah, at least, okay. Yeah. I think it's safe to say that this is developing into a tradition, and this year you expanded it. Is that correct?
You know how we have a lot of sports fan that listens to the show. Yep. And they do these like, hey, I want to go to every baseball stadium.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Guys want to go to every Big Ten football stadium or something, or yep, you know, all that stuff. I think we've turned into, we're going to hit up every water park that there is in the Midwest before we branch out to other ones. But yeah, we went to another water park. So
okay,
the girls love it.
So where have you been so far in Michigan?
In Michigan?
Yeah. Or is it none in Michigan?
No, Frankenmuth. We've been to the two up there. The
Zenders or Splash
then,
Village.
Yeah, and then Bavarian Blast, which just opened up like last year. So
okay.
We those two.
All right. And now you've gone somewhere else?
Yeah, we've gone to Great Wolf Lodge in Ohio.
Okay.
And then down the street, we just went last week to Kalahari as a family.
Okay.
Which is also in Sandusky.
And how was it?
Great, man. You know, they say you've been to one water park, you've been to all. It's not true. You know, they're all a little bit different. They all have, I think they cater towards different age groups more too.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff for the adults. But this was fun. It was like more of a safari theme.
Okay.
Kids like that. They have like, you know, a big, nice wave pool.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that.
Gator, you love the water, man, right?
I do. I used to remember being frightened of a wave pool when I was a kid. I was overwhelmed by the waves.
Were you?
Yeah. Well, I was really young, really little, like 5 years old or something. I remember that being a little terrifying.
It can happen. So in the winter, you guys hit up different indoor water parks.
Yeah, and there's still plenty to go. I mean, we've done to a water park in Florida as well, but I know there's one in Windsor that's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
This one, though, in Kalahari, Doug, I don't know, you might like this part. It's like, it's not wakeboarding, but it's like simulated waves. You know what I mean? They give you that board, and you kind of start on your stomach, and you're able to try to surf or whatever. Not surf, but like wakeboarding.
They've got that up at Boyne Mountain in, I can't think of the name of a place, Avalanche Bay.
Okay.
Avalanche Bay, they've got one
it?
Of those. I have never been able to do it because, and I have never, here's why. The line is always really long.
Mm-hmm.
The kids, and like there's tons of kids, and I'm like, I'm not going to get in that line. If I were ever there and there was nobody there, I would so try it. But yeah, the Avalanche Bay, you've not been to Avalanche Bay?
Not yet.
Okay. That's at Boyne Mountain. That one's pretty good, but I have no point of reference. I suspect that you might find, I don't know how it compares to Kalahari and all that, but that sounds like a fun tradition for your family. In the middle of winter, you guys hit up indoor water parks.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, you know, I think all when right, you vacation with kids, and maybe it was like this for you too, Doug, you're kind of taking care of your kid in a different place.
Yeah, there's a little bit of survive in advance,
exactly,
you know, just keep them happy through the day.
Yeah, but instead of sitting at home watching TV or being on some tablet, get them out to the park and it's active and it's fun, but
When you say there's stuff for adults to do, like what is there for?
All right, depending on the water park, there are swim-up bars, you know?
Okay.
Nice.
There you go, right?
Yep.
Hot tub area, mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
There's a there's always like, well, let's see, at Kalahari, in the middle of the whole water park, there was like a bar, just serves alcoholic drinks.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the adults.
I hope so.
Hey, where'd you get that margarita? Little girl? Yeah. Is that a sippy cup?
Did it put a floater on top?
All right, so what was that? Just out of curiosity, what was the highlight of Kalahari for the girls?
For the girls?
Like, what did they love the most?
They love the wave pool, man. The did kids they? Just love waves, you know?
Yep.
Like, not like a slide. They'd rather have the waves, just like being able to stand in the water and see the waves coming in.
Yeah, and then they just bounce and float with it. My little one, they have their floaties, you know, and she'll just let the waves take her. She just leans back and just relaxes. And
I got to tell you, that would be relaxing. If for a kid, it's better than an adult, right? If you're an adult, you can swim, and then you have to use your body and your force, and you're actually getting a workout trying to fight the waves. As a kid, if you just got floaties, hey, take me where you're going to take me.
I'm exactly. Good. That's why they love the Lazy River,
too. Yeah, Lazy River.
Oh, you like the Lazy River,
I love
right,
a
Gator?
Lazy River.
They actually call it the Gator River out there. And
is that for real?
No, they don't.
Oh. Let me tell you something.
Well, you said it was some sort of theme. I didn't know if that fell in line.
When we have talked about the Dare to Dream, win the lottery scenario type thing.
Oh, I know where you're going.
And I have thought about this, and I thought about it recently. Like, what if I just bought some prop like 50 acre property in the middle of nowhere, right? And you build your big house and your big back, your beautiful backyard to pool and all that. But then throughout the property, you have a lazy river throughout the property that goes through all the 40, 50 acres. And it's like, it takes like an hour to go one full lap through that lazy river. Would I build one? You're damn right, I'd build a lazy river.
It's so funny because I'm thinking, would I build a half pipe? You're damn right, I'd build my own half pipe.
The Lazy River idea is great, Gator. And then you got to have like escape routes, though, detours to get cut it short if you need to get back. You
know what I mean? Exactly. Yeah, you're right.
You can't just have one full. All right, once we go on this, it's 6 hours, guys.
Okay, so just out of curiosity.
Paddle.
Since this is your thing, what's been the best experience?
Ooh.
For young families that might want to do the same thing.
The best one? See, it depends. If you have really small kids, I think I suggest Great Wolf Lodge. They have like little slides. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's smaller. You can keep an eye on the whole family easier. If you lose somebody or, you know, they go off to one part of the park, you can find them quicker. And Kalahari, a little bit older kids, you know, bigger slides. For the adults, they have like these crazy slides. I like Bavarian Blast a lot. That's brand new here in Michigan. So I think it just all depends on how old your kids are, but they're all great, Doug, honestly. But if you have older kids, you don't need Great Wolf Lodge. I think it's for the younger ones.
Got it. All right, there we go. I mentioned it could be a big week in the NFL. This is Tom Pelissero on the NFL Network. The Combine gets underway. In fact, just out of a programming note, the Birch kid will be down there, and we'll have him on live. And I believe Brad Holmes speaks tomorrow. So we'll get the Birchie kid on after he speaks to find out the latest what the Lions GM is saying as we head into the NFL Combine. But Tom Pelissero said this could be the week for a big move. Okay, Scott, there it is. And at one point, I'm kind of in the camp of, okay, if not Detroit, anywhere but Chicago or Hammond, and if we can get that done, then I'm okay. I guess he could help a contender somewhere. We've all talked about the cap space and the difficulties that come with, and when there's free agents that are available, maybe it's a better way to just go after Linderbaum if you're going to try and go big, but sounds like something could go down this week.
Could very well. Mm-hmm. Being the Combine week is always interesting to us. We pay a lot of attention to it when I start doing the workouts on Thursday and through the weekend. It's going to be great. But the rumors that fly around are awesome as well. And with free agency right around the corner, I'm curious what's going to happen. And of course, the Raiders have... It's a big chip they have. And if they're unable to convince Max Crosby to stick around or to want to stay on this team, then they should trade him. And they'll get a haul in return. They'll get at least a first-round pick for him. They'll probably get a first-round pick and a player. Can they get more than that? I mean, I don't think they get the same package that the Cowboys got from Micah Parsons. I think Max Crosby's a great player, but I don't think he makes that same wow factor that Micah Parsons does. And he's a little bit older and there's a difference there. So, but he's going to get you a first round pick and a player and maybe even another pick. I don't know if it'll be another first round pick, but we talk about this a lot. I don't think the Lions can even entertain this, unfortunately, because he's costing too much and you've got to give up a player in return. The problem with the NFL with the rules is that it's not the NBA where you're trading salaries. You've got salary cap implications of accelerated bonuses and dead cap money and all that. So it's just not the same. Lions can't, I don't see any way that they can get involved with this. But like you, I do not want to see Max Crosby donning a Hammond Bears jersey.
No.
Or any, you know, and the scary thing is that there are teams, really good NFL teams, that have a lot of cap space. If he goes to like a Seattle, oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Can that happen? That could happen.
Yeah, and you know, the hard thing for any team, if you're Vegas, you want to trade them to the worst team possible because you want their first round picks to be as high as possible. And that might say, well, we're not sending them to Seattle for your virtual second round pick, but something to monitor this week. And Brad Holmes, I'm almost positive, speaks tomorrow, and we'll have a live update from the Birch Kid down in Indianapolis. Carson Anderson, 97.1. Exciting week, exciting times for Detroit sports. We just mentioned the NFL Combine, which really kicks off, ramps up intensity of draft discussion, and as you mentioned, the rumors and all that. Meantime, you got the Red Wings back in action. I find it fascinating that when they return to play against a team that they have had a bit of a rivalry for quite some time, and that is the Ottawa Senators have a similar record to Detroit, and that means also that we will be taking the ice against Brady Tkachuk on Thursday. Yes, Red Wings back in action Thursday against the Senators and Brady Tkachuk, and I don't know if it's a rejuvenated Red Wing fan base, but I would say that the hockey crowd is rather amped up. We opened the show talking about how special it was to win that gold medal and what a great sell job for the NHL that USA Hockey victory was for the NHL in this country. And as a sport that is somewhat niche in the United States, not here as much. In fact, there's a lot of great pride in what some of these Michigan kids did on the men's and the women's front. You know, where our fingerprints are all over that gold medal.
Well, they're not kids anymore.
You know what I mean? Because these are Michigan kids that grew up in our state. Whether they were born here or not, there's a lot of claims. Jack Hughes was the one, Hughes brother, that didn't play at Michigan, but he went to Plymouth Canton High School and went to Plymouth High School as part of that tri-campus thing and played for the USA National Development Team. And maybe almost scripted-like, and I don't know that you could have a better sell job for the sport of hockey than have the guy who had his teeth, his chiclets, literally spitting chiclets, took a stick to the mouth, score the game winner. So all of the post-game photographs and video of Jack Hughes, you could see the teeth cut in half, blood in his mouth, as it totally, perfectly captured the barbaric beauty of hockey. And for most of us, having two teeth knocked out, a third one that looked like it's jammed back in his mouth, I think that would make it a very bad day for us. And we become it's time to step away from work and go to get some immediate dental work.
David Chow, the doctor who worked with the San Diego Chargers for years, and he was on Twitter, and we talk about him a lot because he offers up a lot of opinions about injuries.
Yep.
He said, not enough attention to how painful a cracked tooth is.
Mm-hmm.
Teeth are alive and have nerves. Amazing Jack Hughes shrugged off that for the golden goal. He shrugged it off, went to the bench. I would assume that they have a dentist there, and the dentist probably numbed him up because the pain's insane. But I don't know if he missed a shift. You know, came back out and then ends up getting a high stick penalty himself.
Mm-hmm.
Put the Americans shorthanded. They were able to kill the penalty. They get to overtime, and then he scores the goal in overtime. and just the most poetic finish to that game. It was, I mean, just amazing what the still photos that they have of this guy smiling, this grin with cracked teeth, yep. And that looks like on the top and the bottom with cracked teeth, blood in his mouth, blood on his jersey, draped in an American flag, and it's a smile on his face. It's incredible. It's like if you look at old pictures of Bobby Clark with the Philadelphia Flyers and when they win the Stanley Cup and he's got this like toothless grin because he's so happy they won. All the pain goes away when you win like that, you know? But I imagine it was a rough night for Jack Hughes. Okay, yeah, he's going to be celebrating in the locker room without a doubt, mm-hmm. And maybe there's a feel no pain type of thing that goes on from there. But like today, that's going to be rough. It's kind of like the day after you have the your wisdom teeth yanked. And you feel fine because you still have the medication over there. You can sleep it off, and then wake up the next day and you're like, what is happening to my mouth?
Yep.
My teeth hurt just looking at him.
And it could have been anybody that scored the game-winning goal. It could have been Austin Matthews. It could have been Matt Boldy. But no, it
had to be
It's the kid with half of his mouth. His teeth are gone and there's blood everywhere. This is the perfect picture for hockey. And that happened.
And it happens all the time in hockey.
And it happens all the time.
2002, when the Red Wings won the Stanley Cup, and you hear the stories afterwards about guys going with horrific injuries, and Nick Lidstrom with his, you know, groin area injuries that he was dealing with. Steve Duchesne had like six teeth knocked out in the finals against Carolina that year. And yet, I think he missed a shift and kept playing because that's what hockey players do. Yep. It's awesome.
Yep. And that happened. And what a way to introduce this sport to people who aren't used to it. But here we are in Detroit. And yeah, Connor Hallebuck is a Commerce Township kid. And the Hughes brothers, one of them played at Michigan, but they went to high school around here. And you got Zach Werenski, he's a Detroit area kid, also played at Michigan. You got Megan Keller, scores the winner for the women, who played throughout growing up playing for Honey Baked. And you know,
Dylan Larkin,
of course. Well, that's what I was getting to with Dylan Larkin. Here's the thing about Dylan Larkin. Dylan Larkin, with our Team USA and the Four Nations and now this, has emerged as the kind of player that, to me, exemplifies being a team player. Doing all the little things. He's taken faceoffs in 5-on-3s. And one of the most important parts of that game, winning the faceoff gives you possession for people who don't understand, and you can dump the puck down the ice and kill off 20 seconds. It's a big draw. If you lose that faceoff, and I get it, everybody knows this, but not everybody, but if you lose that faceoff, Canada has possession of the puck in your zone with a 5-on-3, already set up and ready to go. It's a huge draw. And Team USA sends Dylan Larkin out there to take that faceoff, and he wins it. That's a big deal. He is, to me, the Captain America. And all those reports that came out over the last couple of weeks saying, yeah, the Kachucks get all the attention, but the people in that locker room are looking up to Dylan Larkin. He is emerging as a leader of this team.
Without question, he is. And I think that based off the performance in the last two international tournaments with the Four Nations Cup last year and then the Olympics this year, I think Red Wing fans are starting to appreciate him more. Mm-hmm. I think Red Wing fans appreciate it when he spoke out about not adding at the trade deadline last year. And that there was, you know, maybe a little come to Jesus meeting with the general manager and trying to get on the same page there. And they go into this offseason, make some additions. And now the team's playing the way that they are. Dylan Larkin's going to come back and play on Thursday night against Ottawa at LCA. And he's coming back.
I thought it was at Ottawa. Am I wrong?
I think it's here. Let me double check that.
My apologies. But,
I've made this mistake before. no, it looks like it's at LCA on Thursday.
Where were the Olympics, Gator?
They were in Italy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so they're at Ottawa. Or they're at Detroit.
They're at Detroit on Thursday. So when he comes back, it's going to be a hero's welcome. The crowd is going to be sick. What?
ESPN says they're at Ottawa.
Why am I looking at this? Why do I mess this up every time? Why is it? Is it not the bottom team is the home team?
What are you looking at?
Yeah. I'm looking at I have on my ESPN page, it lets me know where the...
Does Ottawa love Dylan Larkin that much?
Or they I swear to you, it just switched and put Detroit on top of Ottawa. My bad.
It just switched, Kang.
Yeah. It just switched.
Right now, it's just you.
It wasn't
right.
Him. It was ESPN.
So you know who's not going to get a hero's welcome? Dylan Larkin.
Yeah, Ottawa loves Dylan Larkin.
And Brady Tkachuk.
Oh, that's
they're
funny.
Not going to be so happy with Brady Tkachuk in Ottawa.
I got a problem with reading.
Reading and math.
It's okay. Anyway.
Not okay. I don't like that.
No, but look. So we're fired up. I'm excited. To be clear, last year I was excited coming out of the Four Nations, and I thought Dylan Larkin was going to be the leader of a team that excelled down the stretch and carried momentum into the playoffs, and they were under 500 by like 4 or 5 games. And so, you know, there's not necessarily a carryover. In fact, who knows? Maybe it takes a lot out of you. I am cautiously optimistic that a confident and gold medal now wearing Red Wing captain comes back, and some of that spirit has a bleed over effect to our Red Wings. Probably, but it's probably wishful thinking, but I'm bunkering down with that hope anyway.
Well, this team has leadership without question. Not only is Dylan Larkin the leader of this team and the captain of this team, Lucas Raymond is a leader. He was the best player for Team Sweden, one of the best players in the tournament. I think he had 9 points in 5 games. Mo Sider is without question. He's a leader. He's one of the leaders of that team in the Germany put out there, and he just commands respect out on the ice the way he plays the game on defense. They've got plenty of that, and they've got veterans on this team that know how to lead as well. I really, really like the makeup of this Detroit Red Wing team, and I'm excited about the additions they're going to make when they make them, and I'm making this as if it's already happened, and of course it hasn't, but I feel like it has to happen, that they will make additions to this team before the trade deadline. It just makes all the sense in the world. You add to this team is really good right now. They're in a position where they have some prospects they can afford to give up if they see the move that makes sense.
And if you're holding tickets to that game, a reminder, right, it is in Ottawa. No. Just this from John Jansen. Assuming that was Jack's original tooth may be an error. Just a thought. And John, you might be right. It might not be. Those might not be Jack's original teeth. But there was still blood. It was real blood. And it was a great picture. All of the pictures of him. In fact, when he spoke and he kind of had problems with his S's and T's because his teeth were all jacked up.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. He looks like a kid, but what he was saying came from inside his chest, and I thought he was awesome.
He was great.
And you know who else was great? Since we're taking credit for everything here in Michigan, as we should, lean into whatever ties there are. Mike Tirico was fantastic.
Oh, he was. He always is.
His sign-off, if Connor Hellebuck has a mantle and a fireplace, put this picture above it. And it was the picture from the camera up top making the save with his stick behind him. Yeah, it was unbelievable. And then what he had to say about what sports can do for our country. There's a reason why he's the best in the business. And he flew like directly from the Super Bowl. He was in Italy, then flew to the Super Bowl, then flew back. That right. I mean, that is somebody that is incredibly talented.
Well, he is. He loves his job. Jobs. Yep. Because he does everything.
Yep.
And he's great at it.
That man needs a nap. It's Carson Anderson.
He deserves it.
97.1. So Gator, I think we have confirmation here. According to threads.com, a poster by the name of Michaela Jane posted, Benny the Bull just made 3 backwards half-court shots in a row. Sub him in. That's the only confirmation I can find.
Why are you denying yourself that you saw history?
Because I don't believe what I saw.
But you were there in person. You weren't watching it on TV.
It had to be AI.
How can it be AI when you're there in person?
I don't know.
What do you think? It was hologram Benny the Bull?
I think it was hologram basketball. At the Pistons-Bulls game, somebody else had to have been there because I knew you guys, we took over the United Center. And there were Piston fans everywhere. And, you know, Bulls aren't particularly good. It's a drivable trip. Although the drive home was pretty sketchy yesterday, I'll tell you that, with the snow. I mean, we came to a complete standstill on 94 near Kalamazoo. Probably saw a dozen cars in the ditch, including one that had rolled over. It was scary.
That's not good.
94 was closed in Ann Arbor. I mean, it was
sketchy.
But for those, Benny the Bull in the second half, the mascot, went to midcourt, threw a basketball over his head with one hand, made it. Then did it again, then did it again. Three straight times. And one of my son's friends said, no, 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 the third one didn't go in, but everybody thought it went in. The place went nuts. I'm just looking for anybody else that was privy to that because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And then I said, it's not true. It had to be AI. Somehow, some way, they've managed to they've managed to make an AI for my own eyes. But
you think the Bulls player is like, damn it, I can't even do that facing the net.
I it might be one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. What? If I actually saw it.
You still don't believe you saw it. That is amazing.
It really was.
It's
but
crazy.
Dude, he's in a mascot outfit, man. It's not even like just doing it regularly.
Just big puffy hands?
Yes.
This is what he does.
Dude. Three times in a row?
Three times in a row. Man. I swear it was three times in a row. And then I'm like, how many beers have I had?
Dry January really did a number on you.
Yeah, right?
You're like, man, I'm hammered.
Maybe I did it a half pipe.
That's funny.
I'm like, I turned around. I said, I swear to drunk, I'm not God. Oh, it was crazy.
That would be, I mean, that's a moment in time.
It really
you
was.
You were there for that, man.
I was.
You need to talk about this feat more. First of all, anybody to make three half-court shots facing the basket is amazing.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Making one is amazing. Crowd goes nuts if somebody makes one.
Yep.
You make two facing the basket. What kind of trick are we pulling here? Three? You're a wizard.
Over the head.
You do it backwards?
I swear I saw it.
In a mascot uniform?
Again, and all we got is confirmation from a message board post from Michaela Jane. Let's go to Phil in Detroit. You're next on 97.1.
What's up, Doug? What up, Gator?
Phil!
Look, Gator, I was in my car watching the game, and I was sitting up here. When he hit the first one, I was like, oh, that's cool as hell. And then he turned around, and he hit it again. I was like, wait a minute. He did it again. And he said he was going to try it again. I was like, he ain't about to hit a third one. And bam, when he hit that third one, I was sitting in the car like, I don't believe this crap. I was watching it as it was happening. So you ain't lying, Doug. It actually happened. That's crazy.
I couldn't believe it. I could not believe what I was seeing. And look, the game was great. Duncan Robinson was awesome. Taylor Durham was great.
Yeah.
That was a great game.
This guy made three backward shots in a mascot uniform from half court.
Yes.
Incredible.
Yeah, he is not lying, Gator.
I don't think he is, Phil.
I'm not even sure I saw it.
I'm the one who has to convince Doug that he saw it live. He was there. I mean, do you have what you saw, man. Do you have a ticket stub?
What you saw.
No, I've got, well, I mean, I got... on my phone.
You got a digital stub?
I got digital. I can say I was there.
Yeah.
Get Benny to sign my digital ticket stub.
Yes, please sign my digital stub. You should print that out.
Yeah, then get it graded.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what do you think that's worth, Kang?
Encapsulate that?
Yeah.
Greg in West Bloomfield, you're on 97.1. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. Hey. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I was at the Bulls-Pistons game last night.
Two nights ago, but yes.
Two nights ago, yep. And I saw the backwards three shots in a row.
It actually happened, didn't it?
It did. We were up in the, they put up some brand new banner lofts up there, and that's where we sat. So we were up a ways, but we were all in shock the entire time.
I couldn't believe it. Now,
here's a question I have for both of you. Greg, I have a question for you and for Doug. I mean, I recognize he won a gold medal yesterday, and it's great, but why is Benny the Bull not champ of the week?
That's a great question. You know, he did his popcorn dump. He hit three in a row. It's hard to beat a gold medal, though.
Yeah.
I guess. Jeez.
Greg, it was unbelievable.
He's got to make four in
it
a row?
Was.
Five in a row?
Yeah, maybe.
One
they
for every ring of the Olympics.
They kept letting him go.
They had to start the game back up, but... Hey Greg, how are you? Did you? Yeah, maybe. did you make the drive home yesterday?
I did. We left probably around noon.
Okay. We watched the gold medal game. Then we watched Michigan State, Ohio State. Left a little later. Roads were took 5:45. Usually takes close to 3:40.
Right. I got a little quicker than that, so you probably started hitting the mess a little bit more.
Yeah, it was bad. But all right, Greg. Thank you for confirmation.
I mean, honestly, if that is the Bulls have been playing, shouldn't he just suit up anyway? He's already suited, doesn't he? Basically, he's in a he's got a jersey.
Well, that's
on,
what
right?
Mikayla Jane said.
Yeah, just let him play. And then when he lines up to take that backward shot, watch Jalen Duren just come in. Swat! Not up in here.
Not up in here. So this might be their biggest test. The Pistons taking on San Antonio tonight.
Oh, I thought Benny the Bull was Benny the Bull traded?
No, Benny the Bull's still in Chicago.
Okay. Does Beef Stew want to fight Benny the Bull?
Right. We got a problem?
Right. Actually, he might.
Think you were all that?
Did he look at me funny? Stu, he can't even make facial expressions. What are you doing? Back off.
Yes, he looks I don't know, at man.
Look at that. Look at him. Right. He's looking at me.
This might be their biggest game of the week because SGA may not play on Wednesday. And so I don't know that Cleveland game. Cleveland's still the favorite in Vegas to win the East. Maybe I shouldn't say still. Maybe I think after the Harden trade, a lot of money came in on Cleveland, and the Pistons play Cleveland at the end of this week. But I was most looking forward to the Oklahoma City game, them being the defending champs. But if SGA is out, then I guess it won't be as big as when Detroit goes back to Oklahoma City, I think next week, and he should be back by that time. It's not considered a serious injury. It's not next week. It's next month. It's the end of next month. I don't know where I got next week from. But anyway, big week, big week, big game tonight. Excited for this team.
Yeah, I'm excited to go to the game, watch it tonight, to see the boys in action. Victor Wembanyama, first up close and look at him. So that's going to be cool. It's a big test.
Yep. So we shall see how they come through, but they dominated Chicago Bulls. And again, tons of Detroit fans and the Bulls fans that wanted to have talks like that were just being cool. You know, your team's so good. Yeah, we're getting used to it. We like it. So,
but their mascot.
Their mascot.
I mean, he's you got something. Your mascot though.
Three in a row.
It's amazing.
Yep.
Champ of the week.
He got no
votes. Any other week he'd be champ of the week.
That might be true.
Any other week.
Yeah. This little hockey game got some attention. All right, thanks for being with us. We'll obviously do it again. We'll start previewing the combine tomorrow as our Birch kid will be down there. What are those guys going to be talking about coming up next, Scott?
One word, two syllables, monobob.
There you go. That is next. 97.1.